We all have areas that we would like to be good at. That question, you know, that came to you, you know, what is an area you wish we are good at? You know, we all have these areas that we feel inadequate, you know, because it is in our condition that we like to be perfect. You know, we like to be, you know, perfect, you know, so therefore we hide our scars. We hide our scars because we like, you know, to be perfect. In fact, some of us, you know, live in fear of being found out. We live in fear of being found out that we are not as strong as people think we are. We live in fear of being found out that we are not as good, you know, we are not as capable as we wish other people to think we are. We live in fear of being found out. You know, so what do? We hide, you know, our scars. We hide because, you know, we live in fear of being found out that we are not as smart or capable or as courageous as we would like people to think we are. I remember when I was 9 years old, we were writing exams, and, you know, our classroom, the setup was that, you know, we had just had cement floors, and we didn't have desks, we didn't have chairs, but we were kind of like sitting in rows, just like you guys are sitting right now. You know, when we started writing an exam, the teacher said, no one goes out of this class until you finish your exam. No one goes out, even if your mother dies, you don't go out of this class. You stay in this class. Even if you want to go and take a leak, you're going to be in this class. You're not going out. And, you know, I was like, oh, cool, all right, you know, we've got this, we'll be fine. The only reason I'll go out, obviously, would be to go and take a leak, but I'll be okay, I'll be fine. You know, in the middle of an exam, you know, I just felt that, like, oh my goodness, I need to go. I have to go. This is the time. This is the moment. I cannot wait any longer. But, you know, I remember the words of the teacher that, you know, well, for whatever reason, you're not going out. You have to stay in this building. This is an embarrassing story, guys, but I have to share. I had a plan. 9 years old, I had a plan. If I release just a little bit, you know, I'll be okay. So I started on that journey. And, I think I was like, okay, this is it. I just have to stand up and leave this class. So I stood up and started walking. Now, either people are thinking either maybe he is done or something has happened. So everybody, all eyes now turn to me. And there was this one guy. I don't remember all the people that I was in class with, but I remember the name of this guy. His name was Joshua. Joshua sees that there is, so we used to wear shorts, yeah? Joshua sees that there is a map of pee on my shorts. And he loses it. Hey, this guy, you know, just begins to laugh. He was rolling on the ground and just laughing. Look at her friends. Look at her friends. You know, I was so embarrassed. I was still on my way out, and everybody just laughing and losing it. But only Joshua made me feel embarrassed, as if I've kind of like embarrassed the whole continent of Africa, you know. So I left, and then I go to the teacher, and there was a phrase that you would use. Please, teacher, may I go out? That was kind of like the phrase. And you would not sometimes even finish it. Just say, please, teacher, may I? And the teacher knows, okay, you have to go to the bathroom. So I go, I say, please, teacher, may I? And the teacher says, no, you're not going. I know. Mean, huh? Teachers. But anyway, and then she also notices the map on my shorts, and she says, oh, okay, all right, okay, you can go. So I go, and, you know, I'm coming back all free, praise the Lord, I'm free, praise the Lord. I'm going back, but now a thought dawns on me. When I go to class, you know, how will people see me now? You know, because even though I was embarrassed the first time, but I had bigger fish to fry, so I didn't really care much. But now, you know, I'm going back, so I have to face, you know, the judgment that is going to come. And, you know, I'm thinking, what would be the stories that would be coming out in this school of what happens to Humphreys? So as I was going out into class, something amazing had happened. You know, we were sitting in rows, but this time I see that everybody is sitting along the wall, and there's just a massive gap in the middle. And I'm wondering what's going on, and I see there's only one person who is in the middle, and this guy, his name is Joshua. Joshua is sitting alone in the middle because Joshua has peed himself, and he is sitting in the pool of his own pee. Guys, I've never been so happy in my life. You shall be quiet, but the Lord will fight your battles. Yes. Woo. I was like, praise the Lord. This is amazing. This is fantastic. Joshua, the guy who was laughing, made me feel embarrassed. But look at him now. He didn't even have the courage that I had to stand up and face the teacher. Oh, but I felt so good. I still remember that story. I still remember Joshua, eh? And Josh, if you're here, sorry, bro. I cannot even remember how he looks like, to be honest. But it was amazing. But, you know, isn't it interesting that the weakness we identify with, when others are found out with the same weakness, we laugh at them? Isn't it interesting that, you know, for some reason, you know, the human condition thrives on the misery of another? I saw it this week when England lost to Croatia. And, you know, I'd written on my wall, it's coming home, because that was the phrase. Yes, son? It's coming home. Football is coming home. Where it started. We are bringing the World Cup back home. And when they lost, oh my goodness, people right away texting me, it's not coming home. They are going home. That's what it is. Is that just within us to thrive on the misery, you know, of others? Just because there's that longing, that need in us that we want to be perfect, you know. And, you know, it comes out of pride when somebody's found out, you know, with a weakness that we want to thrive and, you know, just indulge in their own, you know, embarrassment. Because it comes out of pride that when they are found out, that it means I am better. I am good. And if you're good at something and somebody's not, you see yourself just being better at something. And the world, you know, worships, you know, people that look perfect or seem to be perfect. That's what it is. That's the ways of the world. But guess what? God is not looking for people who have figured out everything. God is not looking for people who have figured out everything. People who have it all together. People who are perfect. That's not what God is looking. God is not looking for strong people. God is not looking for people who have it all together. But he's looking for those people that want to be with the one that has figured out everything. And we always figure out everything. God is delighted in people who do not have it all figured out. God is looking for people who are weak, yet they find their strength in Jesus. People who are weak, yet they find their strength in Jesus. Because strength without Jesus is weakness. And weakness with Jesus is strength. In this passage that we have read, you know, God says, you know, I know your deeds. I see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. God says, you know, don't hide. I know that you have little strength. I know that you have a weakness. I know that. You have a weakness. But there is something else that God commands them. He commends them. He says, you know what? Even though you have little strength, but you did not deny my name. You did not deny my name. Sometimes we can let our strength lead us into sin. Sometimes we can let our strength lead us into sin. But we have a choice that we let our strength be a pathway to the honor of God's name. We can let our strength either lead us into sin, or it can be a pathway to the honor of God's name. And just notice an interesting thing here. You know, God is not saying, I know you have little strength, therefore I will give you strength. I know you have little strength, therefore I'll make you strong. That's not what God is saying. Actually, just God says, you know what? Good job for being faithful, even though you're weak. That's what God says. He doesn't say, all right, you've been faithful, even though you're weak, therefore I'm going to make you strong. I'll give you strength. But no. And why is that? It's because God wants them to see him as their strength. Your strength in God is evidenced by your faithfulness to the owner of his name and his word. And if you claim that God is your strength, then you will be faithful in honoring his name and his word. Now, when we talk about weakness, you know, weakness is an imperfection. You know, you have done all you could. You have tried to take it away, but it still remains, it's still there. And it can be because of all kinds of things. And, you know, when I'm being reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, when Paul says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, these gracious words, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. Whatever your weakness is, it could be because of genetics. You wish you were something else. You wish you would do some things better or have it all together in that area, but you can't. You know, maybe there's a situation, situational weaknesses where you are trying to, you know, go to school, but you cannot provide for yourself, or you cannot provide for your family. You feel limited. You are limited. You feel limited. Whatever your weakness is, maybe you wish you were better at your job, just like the next person. But you have tried all you could, and for some reason, there are some things you can't really get. But you know what? Even there, when you're weak, you have to know that faithfulness trumps the illusion of strength. Because when we are faithful, even though we are weak, then we are strong in Jesus Christ. We are strong in Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to talk to us about, you know, why do we need to be faithful even when we are weak? Because this is the message of this passage. I know you have little strength, but you have not denied my name. I know you are weak, but you've been faithful. And that's what God says to our church, that we are weak, but we can find our strength in Jesus. Actually, Jesus Christ can be our strength. So I wanted to appeal to you that be faithful because God's power shines in weakness. Be faithful because God's power shines in weakness. This scripture says, in verse 7, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. When the scripture talks about God being the one who opens doors that no one can shut, or who shuts doors that no one can open, it presents God to be all-powerful. God is all-powerful. God is almighty. God is above all things. He's above all things. And guess what? God loves to show that he's above all. He loves to show that he's above all things, that he is powerful, that he is stronger, that he is mighty. And there is no better place for God to shine, for God's power to shine, than when there is weakness. Because in weakness, faithfulness says, even though I am weak, I still trust in the Lord who opens doors. I still trust in the Lord who shuts doors. I still trust in him because he's almighty. If he opens, no one can shut it. And if he shut doors, no one can open. Our Lord is mighty and powerful. And in that 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect when there is weakness. And when you look into Paul's story, you know, Paul says, you know, I prayed 3 times for God to remove this weakness. I prayed for God to remove it. Isn't that what we wish for God to remove weaknesses? But you know what? God says, you know, I'm going to work through that weakness. I will work through it. And I will show my power through that weakness. Because when you are weak and God does something, guess who gets the glory? It is God. His power shines in our weakness, because when he does it, we know it's not us, for we are incapable, but our God is able. Our God is able to open doors. Our God is able to shut doors. We glorify him. So his power shines when we are weak, shines in weakness. I know you have little strength, but you have been faithful. You've been faithful. Whatever your weakness is, you know, trust the Lord who is almighty, that he brings healing if you're hurting. That our Lord, he's all-powerful and almighty. He's the one that has the key of David. He's the one who opens doors and shuts them, and nobody can do anything about it. What God has done, no one can undone. Just him, powerful, mighty, glorious, the Lord mighty. So when you're weak, do not let your weakness lead you into sin, but be faithful to the honor of God's name. You know, ask yourself, what does it mean for me, even though I cannot be this that I want to be, but I still want to see God's name be honored and be glorified? Because every time you're trying to find your own strength, it will definitely lead you into sin. Definitely will lead you into sin. But even though you're weak, and I know, I was studying leadership, and in leadership we talk about, maximizing strength. You know, maximize your strength. You know, maximize your strength. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually great. But we know that in God, Jesus Christ is actually our strength. So be faithful. Be faithful because God's power shines in weakness. Number two, be faithful because God's promise shows up in weakness. Be faithful because God's promise shows up in weakness. Verse 9 and 10 says this: I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I'll make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. There are just so many eyes when Jesus says, I will make. He says, I have loved you. I will also keep you. You know, these are promises that God is promising his people. There's no better place for God's promise to show up or to make more sense to us when there is weakness. Because when you're weak, there could be maybe, a sickness you cannot shake off. You would hold on to the promise of Jesus, to the promise of God, that he's the one who makes you strong. Because God loves to honor his name, and because he rewards the faithful, there's no better place for him to show his promises than when we are weak. There's no better place for God to show that. And my encouragement to you is, what is God's promise for you today? There's no better times when, I feel, I need God's encouragement to, when there's an area of weakness in my life, I'm going through a hard time, and I just kind of like looking into God's word and just looking into, what God is saying to me today. What's God's promise? And I think it's a good thing for you to be reminding yourself of what God's promise for you is. So if you look into your life right now, what is an area that you need God the most? And what is God saying through his word for you in that area? What is he saying? You are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. If you are sick, if you are looking for provision, the Lord will provide for you according to his riches found in Jesus Christ. What is it that God is speaking to you through his promises? Because the way that we are faithful and that we can experience or enjoy God's promises when we are weak is by being faithful to the honor of His name, so that His promise shows up. The God's promises are made clear, and God speaks to this church, I know you're weak, but guess what I will do for you, because you've been faithful. I know you're weak, but you've been faithful, and guess what I will do for you? You know, I'll bring these people, and they will bow down. I will keep you from the trial that's coming, because you have waited patiently. I know what? I have loved you. I have. I will make. I, God just saying, I. God's promise shows up when we are weak. And you know why? Why should we try? Why should we trust this? And verse 1 says, these are the words of the one who is holy and true. The one who is holy and true. And we will talk about holiness. You know, we're talking about, separation. That God is actually uncommon. You know, He is separated. He is not like any other that you can compare Him to. He is separated and out there, uncommon. Our God is holy. And because our God is holy, He is also true. He is our reality. He is true. He is real. He is holy, but also He is real. Therefore, you can trust that He will keep you even when you're weak. Therefore, you can be faithful, you know, and do according to His word, because you know He is holy. He is not like us that we promise and do not do. He's not like us that we say, oh, I'm coming there in 5 minutes, but you know you're yet to get out of bed. He's not like that. He's not like any other. Our God is holy and He is real. Holy and true. He's holy and He is real. And therefore you can trust on His word. You can trust on His promises. His promises are true because God is true. His promises are true, are real because God is real. These are the words that comes out of the one who is holy and true. Our God is holy and true. And thirdly, be faithful because God's purpose is shaped in weakness. Be faithful when you are weak because God's purpose is shaped in weakness. Verse 11 to 13, this Bible says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. I will also write on them my new name. Whoever hears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, God's purpose is to establish His kingdom. God's purpose is to establish His kingdom. And this is what He says. You know what? I will write the name of God, of my God, on you. And even on the holy city, I will write the name of my God. Because God is building a kingdom where every single tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's building a kingdom right now. In fact, the very thing that we have a weakness is actually a longing in itself. A longing of a better world without weakness. A longing of a better world where we are healed, we are whole. A longing of a better world where we are free, free from sin, free from bondage. A longing of a better world where Jesus is sitting on the throne and He reigns forever and ever to the glory of His name. Amen. God's purpose is shaped in weakness. It is in weakness because God is building a kingdom. And you know you like to be perfect now. But through imperfection, Jesus Christ is working. Jesus Christ has saved you. He is saving you right now, but He will save you. He has redeemed you. He is redeeming you right now, and He will redeem you. in weakness, God's purpose is shaped because God is building his kingdom where he will give us a new name. His name will be written upon us. And the Bible talks about the new Jerusalem and the new heavens that, as we live in this new Jerusalem, the name of God alone will be exalted above all names, will be glorified above all names. And we see this in the Lord Jesus Christ when he came down in a form of a human being and he was just like us. He was human, yet God. And in his humanity, he was limited that he was only in one place at a time. But as God, he was unlimited. He was so unlimited that he wanted to establish his purpose and his power in breaking sin and his promise of the new kingdom to come. I'm not talking about that you brush off your weaknesses, but that you recognize them. You recognize that I am weak and I'm in need of a savior. And isn't that the premise of the gospel? The gospel says that you are unable. The gospel says you are weak and you need a savior. That's what the gospel says. You cannot rescue yourself. You're weak. In fact, you're so sinful that you cannot even see your own weakness. And Jesus comes and he says, you know what? I come for you. I am here to rescue you. I'm here to give you life now, but also life to come, eternal life. In our weakness, there's a longing for Jesus. We long for him who is perfect. We long for him whose will lives eternally. And it's beautiful. And when God's will is at work in your life, it changes how you view the weakness of others. It does. And by the way, let's be sympathizing with one another. And it came to me, there's just a lot of young people that are, yet to find, jobs. There's some people just say, what are you doing? Just sitting around, just find a job. Don't say that. It's not like that. You don't just go out and find a job in Malawi. Huh? Just do this. What are you doing? But we are weak. And sometimes we wish to do certain things, but we just can't. We just can't. We are weak. Let's sympathize with other weak people. One of our values is weak people growing together. Weak people growing together. And when we recognize that we are a church of weak people, but together we are following Jesus Christ. Together we are following Jesus Christ because in him we find true transformation. We find life. We find true transformation. Now you could be here this morning. Maybe you come to church, or maybe you just came because of your friend and this is not really making sense. Maybe you do not see the need of Jesus in your life. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is holy and he is real and he longs for your life that you'd come into his kingdom. And if you have not made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the day of salvation is not tomorrow, but the day of salvation is today. That you would surrender your life to Jesus Christ this morning and say, I am weak. Jesus, help me.